MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Victor Mpunga. He's head of research at Private Clients by Old Mutual Wealth. Victor, appreciate the time today. Knowing where one is in a business cycle, it can be hugely important for investors. The problem, I suspect, is that it's not always easy. And I reference the US recession, which has been promised us in 22 and then in 23 and again in 2024. And so far, just remains elusive.
Yeah, thank you, Simon. Yeah, no, you're right. I think some have started to refer to this expected US recession as the most anticipated recession ever that actually never happens. You know, for the exact reason that you've pointed out, that we've been waiting for it for a long time. But if we sort of think of, you know, why that is the case, you know, why we've had so many forecasters assuming that we're going to have a recession and that hasn't been the case, I actually think it comes down to the business cycle and maybe getting a clear understanding or, you know, exact understanding of where we are in that traditional business cycle. And if one sort of thinks about, you know, that traditional cycle, you know, you have four clear stages of it. You know, you have the early cycle part of it, you have the mid cycle, you have the late cycle, and then you have the recession. And each one of these segments has clear sort of characteristics. You know, if I just take the late cycle as an example, you know, that's when growth moderates, earnings are under pressure, you know, inventories, you know, start growing and sales growth start stalling. But if we think about the data that we've been seeing in the US, you know, over the last few months, the data has actually been showing mixed signals, you know, and let's just take, you know, last week as an example, where we had the jobs numbers, you know, that came out of that market. You know, the jobs numbers came out at over 300,000 jobs for the month of March. You know, that was 50% higher than expected. And that's actually the fastest pace that we've seen in the last year. You know, so if you look at that data, it's actually suggesting that perhaps the economy is still accelerating. And that is not what you would expect, you know, late in the cycle. But at the same time, if you look at other data that comes out of that market, you know, take, for example, you know, credit that's being granted, that seems to be slowing down, as well as corporate profits, et cetera. So all of this to say that there are a lot of mixed signals that are coming out of the data. And so in terms of identifying exactly where we are in the cycle, it's not that easy for investors.
I take your point. I mean, we get sort of a sense of where we are, but it's never that clear cut and dry. And then as an investor, and you make the point in the note that you put out, where it really is back to, again, you know, when constructing a portfolio, it's about a well-balanced and a diverse portfolio with quality business. And you take an interesting point. You kind of bottom up, and that's company specific, but then you take almost a top-down macroeconomic to kind of manage exposure and any singular risk.
Yeah, you're right. The way one would sort of use the traditional business cycle that I spoke about earlier is, you know, you have a forecast of what you think the economy will do, you know, and then you position your portfolio according to that, you know, and sort of hope that economic view that you have plays out. That's not the approach that we tend to take, you know, rather than hoping for a specific outcome, you know, our focus is more bottom up, you know, where we want to pick good businesses, great businesses that we believe that are best positioned to withstand varied economic developments and the surprises, you know, such as the ones that we've seen over the last couple of years. And then in terms of the macro view, you know, we are cognizant of it, but we use that more to make sure that we are not overly exposed to any particular risk, you know, after building the portfolio from a bottom-up perspective.
This is almost the structure, the process, perhaps, rather than the structure, is going to be independent of where we are in the cycle, although there will obviously be tweaks as we move through and the data comes.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. You know, I think a big part of our process is to identify businesses that we believe they have tailwinds that will allow them to manage through the cycle. You know, granted, you know, you might see a slight slowdown, you know, in the top line of a great business, you know, if there are significant economic headwinds. But the long-term tailwinds, we believe they'll allow them to navigate those difficult periods, you know, from a macro perspective. You know, and there are many examples of businesses like that, you know, that have long-term tailwinds that allow them to navigate, you know, sort of these short-term headwinds. You know, and so I guess the issue is really about where one focuses, you know, rather than focusing on the timing for the next recession, which if we've learned anything over the last 2.5 years, is that is incredibly difficult to do, and rather focus on the bit that I guess you have some more certainty on, which is great companies that are able to navigate those unpredictable macro environments.
Yeah, 100%. And as you say, the timing is immensely hard. I want to change track just slightly. In the note that you put out, you were talking around sector weightings, and you made a great point, which, because I know a lot of folks will look at an MDD and they will rush off to the different sectors. And you, on the face of it, it looks like underweight IT, overweight financials. But for example, Visa has moved out of IT and into financial, and Berkshire Hathaway is classified as a financial company. From an investor perspective, looking at an MDD, they need to do a bit of work as well, because the highlight picture isn't always is necessarily the accurate one.
That's exactly right, Simon. You know, I guess what most sort of investors can hang their hats on is, you know, what has happened in the past. And if you look back, you know, over the last 6-7 decades or so, that business cycle indicators, you know, it gives you some sense of what sectors to overweight or to underweight during various periods. But, you know, to the point that you highlighted, you know, the market has changed over time. That's a nuance that's worth keeping in mind. And, you know, you mentioned a couple of companies. The others that come to mind are the likes of Alphabet, you know, Amazon, Meta. You know, in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years or so, they've also changed their classification in terms of which sectors they are regarded as. You know, most of us think of those businesses as technology companies, but they're actually not in the technology sector. You know, rather they're in the communications, consumer discretionary. You know, you mentioned Visa. You know, that's another business that most people regard as a tech business, but it's actually classified as financial. You know, so in terms of what business you're exposed to, or what sector you're overweight, it takes a lot more than just, you know, having a big picture view. You know, one needs to actually sort of look at the detail, you know, in terms of what that business or the exposure that that business gives you, you know, rather than just looking at it from a macro sector perspective.
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of folks buy tech index and are surprised there's no Amazon because it's not considered the tech stock. We'll leave it there. And it's Victor Mpunga. He's head of research, private clients by Old Mutual Wealth. Appreciate the time.